Hey everybody, it's Mark. Kind of jumped the gun there. Hey, it's Mark.
And Christy.
And we'd like to welcome you to the Divine Practice Radio Show on Spiritual Connections Radio. We are, as you know, Spiritual Connections Radio has been on the air for going over 3 years now. Divine Practice is one of the new formats of the new shows that we're doing now. And this is actually our official first groundbreaking show of Divine Practice. And we have a great guest on this evening to kick this off on just the right foot. We're going to be on once a month. And our next radio date that we're actually going to be on, we try to shoot for the third Thursday of every month. So the next show will be on April 21st. And to find out more about the show and other shows that we have on Spiritual Connections Radio, you can go to our website at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, we'd like to introduce our guest, Garnet Schuhauser. Did I say that correctly?
Pretty good, Mark. Yep.
It's always great to have you on the show. You had kind of shared with us before the show started that I think this is our fourth or fifth interview. And you know, we're always excited. I know I generally try to send an email out to you every couple months going, have you written another book yet? Because we want to interview you. So we're really, really excited to have you on. So, you know, just to kind of give a recap for anybody who's not familiar with your work, can you kind of talk about how you got started and what your first and second book were like, and then we'll talk about the third book.
Sure. Well, I was a practicing corporate lawyer in Calgary for like for a total of like about 34 years. And what happened was one sunny afternoon in May in 2007, I was still practicing law, and I went for a stroll down the street. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, seemingly out of nowhere, a homeless man jumped right in front of me and stopped me in my tracks. He looked like a typical homeless man, like with stringy hair and scraggly beard and dirty slept in clothes. But there was something very different about him. He had these amazing, dazzling, sparkling blue eyes that seemed to penetrate deep within me, right down to the depths of my soul. At the same time, his eyes were sending me this wave of pure, unconditional love that was infusing my whole body with an amazing sense of peace and security and well-being. And so I stood there like a deer caught in the headlights, like I was in a time warp. Don't know how long I stood there, but I didn't really care because I was delighted to bask in the gaze of this very different homeless man. And then he broke the spell by saying to me, "Why are you here?" And he promptly disappeared into a nearby store. And when I finally collected my wits, I went into the store to find him, but he was nowhere to be seen. And so then I walked out to the street and walked up and down several blocks in each direction, hoping to spot him, but he had basically disappeared into thin air. And so then that very next day, same time, on the same street, I went back there to try to find him so I could talk to him, find out who he was. And eventually I spotted him sitting all alone on a bench. And so I went up to him and I said, "Who are you and why did you stop me the other day?" And he said, "Well, I'm a soul just like you, and I'm here to answer your questions and help you on your journey." And that was the start of a dialogue I had with this man and went on, off and on, for the next few months. And I found out his name was Albert, and he was actually one of my spirit guides in disguise. And he told me I was the only one who could see him in physical form. Anybody else passing by on the street that day would have seen me sitting on the bench talking to myself. After the first three visits, he no longer appeared in physical form, and he was just a voice in my head, and we communicated by telepathy. And so our conversation, our dialogue, which is basically a Q&A dialogue, went on for several months, and he told me early on that he wanted me to write a book about his revelations. And so that resulted in my first book, Dancing on a Stamp, which was published in 2012. And then after I'd finished that book, he disappeared out of my life for a while, and then he reappeared in quite a different format. I was sleeping in bed, and I awoke because I heard a noise, and I woke up in bed, and I could see this ghost-like ethereal figure standing in the doorway of my bedroom. And then when it moved closer, I could see it was my old friend Albert, but he was in astral form. And I said, "Oh, you know, hi, Albert, what brings you here?" He says, "Well, I'm here to take you on a series of astral trips. I'm going to take you to the spirit side and to other places in the universe because I want you to write about what you see and hear in your second book." So then he just literally reached out and he grabbed my astral hand, pulled my astral body out of my physical body, And I turned around and looked, and sure enough, my physical body was still sound asleep in my bed. And so then he just, but still holding my hand, we floated up through the ceiling, up through the clouds, to a point high above our beautiful planet. And then we went through a shimmering doorway into the spirit side. And so that was my first astral trip, my first experience on the spirit side. And so in the spirit side, I met a welcoming party of my mother, father, brother, and various relatives that had passed over. I had a meeting with the Council of Wise Ones, which is a body of very advanced wise souls whose job it is to oversee all the incarnations on Earth. And I met a number of different souls on the spirit side, got to see different planets in the universe, and got to see some scenes of abuse on our planet that Albert was wanted to show me so that I could sort of pass the message on to humanity that we needed to stop what we were doing. So that was those trips resulted in my second book, Dancing Forever with Spirit. And then he came back into my life again, this time in a similar fashion for another set of astral adventures. And this time we went again back to the spirit side and met with the Council of Wise Ones again, met a number of very distinguished souls on the spirit side who had words of wisdom to impart to humanity, saw some different civilizations on different planets, and those sets of astral trips are described in my third book, Dance of Heavenly Bliss, which has just been released in the last few weeks. And so that's where I am, and I'm currently still dealing with Albert on another set of trips, and that's going to be in my fourth book. My fourth book is about three quarters of the way done, and it'll be published eventually. And if Albert asks me, I'll write more books. I'm sort of in his, I'm marching to his command, and whatever he wants me to do, I'll do. Anyway, that's the, sort of the brief history of where we are right now.
Wow, that's such an amazing journey and everything like that. So. Before I get started with the questions and stuff like that, why don't we go ahead and give out your website to everybody.
I'm sorry, Mark, you cut out. I didn't quite hear you.
Oh, yeah. If you could go ahead and give out your website to everybody.
Oh, sure. My website is garnetschulhauser.com, which is kind of hard to remember. But if you Google dancing on a stamp, you will get to my website. On my website is information about all of my books. I have on my website recordings of all of my radio shows that I've done since my first one in June of 2013. This one is number 87. You can download a free excerpt of each book. You can watch a book video, and you can dial into all of my social media sites like Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and so on for further information. And there are buy links on my website where you can just click on it to like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and get direct to the place where you can buy my books. So it's a wealth of information.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, we just want to let everybody know also that we have a number of his links. So if you didn't catch it or you're not quite sure what it is, Googling Dancing on a Stamp is a good way to jump down, like you said. You can also go to spiritualconnectionsradio.com, and we have his links there. We'll actually, we normally take the stuff off after a couple of weeks, but we'll leave his list under our show for a month or so for anybody who wants to come back. We'll put the replay link up there also, even though you can find that on his website eventually. And, it's a good way to find him. And, of course, I would assume that you can find your book at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com and all those great places.
Yes. Yeah, you can.
Yeah. So I'm going to go back to a question I think I asked you a couple of years ago during one of our interviews. It might have been just last year. From between the first and the second book, there was a gap where Albert wasn't communicating with you at all after you had completed the first book, and then, of course, he showed up to talk to you about the second. And I was just wondering how long that time frame was in comparison to the time frame between the second and the third book.
It was very similar. It was like, as I recall, it was about 2 to 3 months, which isn't really very long. It seemed like a long time to me because before that, I had been sort of in very constant contact with Albert, and he did that because he was he wanted to make sure I was ready for the next sort of leg of our adventures. So he has his reasons, and he never when he's visiting me, he never tells me when he's coming back. So I never know whether he's going to come tomorrow night or a week from now or whenever, and he doesn't tell me where we're going. So it's all a bit of a mystery. That's just the way he operates. Some nights, he'll be there in my bedroom, and other nights, he's not, and it might be a week or so before he comes back. So it's a very very interesting kind of arrangement, which is all his doing because I have no control over it, but I just go with the flow, Mark.
Yeah. I think that's a little bit different than some people who normally have communication with their guides, where it's generally the guide is always there when they need them. It's almost like you guys have a real special arrangement between the two of you that he kind of comes as you're working on projects and stuff like that.
Yeah, his contact with me, Mark, is designed to enable me to be able to write books about what he wants me to write about and his revelations and what he wants me to see and the people that I talk to. And so that's the whole reason for his contact with me. He doesn't give me personal advice, so he's not there to tell me on a day-to-day basis what steps I should take. So it's really for the purpose of me writing my books. And so he will sometimes just exit out when I'm busy writing my manuscript so I don't get distracted. And then he'll come back in when it's sort of that's out of the way and, okay, we're ready to start the next book. So that's sort of how he arranges his timetable, and I just have to go with it because I don't have any control over it.
Yeah, Garnet, and I was just sitting here thinking that the journey is so fascinating, and it almost makes me think of these stories coming to life on the big screen or something. How interesting that would be to see this pull together. Have you thought about doing anything in that format?
No, I haven't. I've just been too busy sort of trying to do the manuscripts for my books, and who knows what comes out in the future, Christy. I'm open to anything, but I generally follow Albert's guidance, and if he says to me I should take a step in this direction or that direction, then I'll just follow him. But he has not mentioned it yet, and I'm not sure after the fourth book whether I'm writing any more or not. He'll let me know in due course when he's ready. So I'll have to wait and see.
Oh, super.
Well, you know, I have to say, you know, it's funny. We were talking about, you know, I want you to write another book so we can interview you again. And you're already almost finished with the next book. So I want to say thank you because I've read your books and they're absolutely amazing. They have so much knowledge and wisdom in them and stuff like that. So I want to thank you for bringing this gift to the planet and being this, you know, this translation and this, you know, bringing this forward for everybody.
Well, thank you for saying that, Mark. I appreciate that. You know, and it's very strange because before I met Albert, I hadn't dreamed in my wildest dreams that I'd ever write a book. It just wasn't on my radar screen anywhere. And when Albert first proposed it to me, I was kind of skeptical, like, well, you know, I can't really write a book, and, you know, you're barking up the wrong tree here. You should find somebody else who can, you know, why don't you find an accomplished author like J.K. Rowling or Stephen King to write your books? But he just said, no, I want you to. And so he was very gently persuasive, and after a while I just sort of caved in and said, okay, I'll write the manuscript for the first book and see where it goes. And the first one was hard to write, I'd have to say, and then second and third ones were quite a bit easier, so it gets easier as I go, so I'm thankful that he persuaded me to do the first one.
You know, I there's so many, you know, from reading the books, and if anybody hasn't read them, I highly recommend you start with the first one, just read all of them. You know, I know there's so many great things that came out of every single book, but I think in the first book and the second book, there's probably something that really kind of sets aside for you in your mind. Can you share with us some of maybe just one thing from your first book that just is very memorable for you and something from your second book?
Yeah, one of the things that surprised me in my first book, and of course Albert went through he answered all the big questions in life, like who are you, why are you here, what's your life's purpose, and where do you go when you die? And of course, the main cycle of reincarnation is that we all came from the spirit side, where we're beings of energy, and that we chose to come here by our own volition. No one made us come here. We chose to incarnate in a physical form on Earth in order to learn and experience things necessary for our evolution as a soul. And so we came here by our own choice. And the other surprising things are is that contrary to what a lot of religions preach, is that God or the source does not manipulate events on Earth and doesn't make rules for us to follow, which was really quite surprising. I was raised as a Roman Catholic, and of course they have all kinds of rules that they say came from God. And Albert says, no, the source doesn't make rules. And then probably the big eye-opener is for a lot of people is that when we die, we go back to the spirit side, no matter what happened, no matter what we did on Earth, and there's no judgment by God or the source, and there's no punishment. There is no hell. And so everyone goes back from where we came from, regardless of what we did. And so that was sort of those are sort of the main themes of his revelations, which fly in the face of a lot of Christian holy men had been preaching for centuries. And so it was, for someone like me, it was quite an eye-opener. But I firmly believe that what he told me was the truth, and I've actually seen evidence of that myself on my astral trips. And so that was sort of the main theme of the first book, which is, this is how the whole thing works. This is where you came from, this is who you are, and this is where you're going to go when you finish your life on Earth. There was a lot of comfort in that to me, just because now I know for sure that when my physical body dies, I know where I'm going. And in fact, I've been there on my astral trips, and it's a delightful place, and it really makes a person realize that there should be no fear of death, because death is just a doorway, a passageway from this plane over to another plane, the spirit side, which is a wonderful place where we will all be reunited with everyone, anyone that we've loved that has passed over, passed away before we did. And so it's a great thought. It was very comforting. In the second book, The Astral Trips, it was mainly designed to for me to see some of the things that happen on Earth that aren't very that we as humans should not be proud of. And he showed me some scenes of human abuse of animals and human abuse of other people and abuse of our lovely planet. And the main theme there was, and this came from the Council of Wise Ones, was look at humans, you're at a very advanced stage of civilization. You've got a lot of very highly developed technology, but your spiritual and emotional intelligence has not kept up. And you let too many of your negative emotions, like fear, anger, hate, and greed, rule your lives. And that results in a lot of violence and conflict and abuse. And their message to me was, we're at a very crucial point. We have the technology and the capability and the weapons of mass destruction that if they were unleashed, we could wipe out all life on our planet. And we really need to work hard to avoid taking that step. And the way to do that, they say, is to try to stifle and discard our negative emotions and fully embrace love and compassion for ourselves, for other people, for our planet, and for the other animals. And that's something that the message they really wanted me to take back to my fellow humans, which is sort of the main theme of the second book, is that, we really got to, straighten out and see the light before we succumb to the dark side of humanity and end up crashing and burning. And they mentioned that there had been a number of other very advanced human civilizations on our planet before. Some of them we've all heard of, like Atlantis and Lemuria, that rose up to very great heights and then crashed and burned because they couldn't control their negative emotions. And so they really don't want our civilization to end up in the same place. And so the message is, we really want you and all the other channels that we are sending messages through to get the message out to your fellow humans that we really need to change our ways. So that was kind of the main theme of the second book.
That's beautiful. And as I heard you speak, I just heard words of love and compassion. And I think for Mark and I, one of the purposes of divine practice is to look at how we interact with the divine in our everyday lives. And maybe you can touch on and speak on how you have maybe changed or interact with the world in maybe a different way since Albert has come into your life and through the messages that he's given.
Yeah, it was an amazing transformation for me, Christy. If anybody knew me before I met Albert and then to see me now, it would be like a 180-degree turn. I mean, I was a straight-laced, button-down corporate lawyer. I didn't talk about spirituality or religion. I didn't really act in any sort of a loving and compassionate way. I was very much a business-like kind of person, and I was basically very judgmental of other people. And I was skeptical. I had a skeptical lawyer brain. After I met Albert, that's all changed, because now I see the world in a much different light, and I view people differently, because now I realize that everyone out there, all the humans, the people walking down the street, my coworkers, people on the freeway, people in the world, are just souls like me having a human journey, and that we're all connected to the source and to each other. So even though it seems like we're all sort of separate entities, in reality, we're all part of the one. And by realizing that, that then leads to the fact that I tend not to judge people anymore. So if I see a, you know, to use the Albert example, a homeless person walking down the street, I don't sort of judge him and think, you know, why don't you get a job, you bum, and make something out of yourself. I no longer do that, because I realize that they have their own place on Earth, and they're here for their own mission, and we can't possibly know what, we can't judge other people because we don't know where they've been, what challenges they have faced, what they are facing now, and what they had planned for themselves before they were born. So you can't just, based upon someone's appearance or where they live or the kind of job they have, you can't sort of make some sort of a judgment, a decision about their validity in terms of where they are in the scheme of things for humanity. So that's a very big thing to me. The other big thing was that Albert said that, you know, animals have souls just like us. And in fact, he told me that if I had any doubt about that, I need only look into the eyes of my little dog for confirmation. And he was right. And so now I look at animals much differently, and I realize that they too have their own place in the universe and on our planet. And they weren't put here just to be abused and used by humans as we see fit. And that we should respect their place, their right to live, and treat them with dignity and respect. So now I look at animals much differently. And I also realize, too, that, we really have to strive hard, because there's so many occurrences of people lashing out, causing violence and destruction around us, and that's because they let their negative emotions get out of the control. So now I make a very concerted effort when I feel anger welling up, you know, when I'm on the highway and somebody cuts me off, instead of being angry at them and staying angry for most of the rest of the day like I used to when I was a lawyer, now I just sort of shut it down and say, okay, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to feed this anger. I'm just going to recognize that that person is on their own journey, and I don't know anything about their journey, so I shouldn't be upset because they happen to cut me off. And so I take a much different outlook on everything around me.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much.
So, you know, I know you've traveled around and you've had different experiences with Albert, and, you know, you talk about the fact that you've had a chance to visit with what we would call our guide. And, you know, we have this whole understanding that everybody has a guide there. You know, some people are connected to him, some people aren't. I'm just wondering, you know, in the spiritual world, we talk about things like angels and archangels and ascended masters. And I was just wondering, in your travels and everything, did you come across those beings to kind of give us that validation?
Oh, yes. I mean, well, I did meet with, one very famous, or a couple very famous masters, Jesus Christ and actually in Moses. I met with them, and they're both master souls. They both incarnated on Earth to try to help humanity sort of get back on the path to spiritual enlightenment. So I certainly met with them. They're very interesting people. And, I have often sort of taken the exception to some of the things that the Christian church, some of their rules and beliefs. But the basis of the Christian church, Jesus Christ, is very much alive and well. And he came down, incarnated on Earth, to help humanity sort of find the path to spiritual enlightenment. And so he was a very interesting guy, still there on the spirit side. He said he performed his miracles on Earth, like walking on water and turning water into wine, by learning to focus his thoughts into very powerful beams of energy. He tapped into the energy of the universe, and that's how he performed his miracles. And so that was sort of his story. He said that he allowed himself to be crucified. He could have stopped that crucifixion because of his powers, but he wanted to make a very dramatic statement to his followers, which would make it easy for them to follow him and follow his teachings. And so that's why he allowed that to happen. And so he's a very wise, advanced, a beautiful soul. Moses, I met with him as well, and this is all in the third book. And he was, he was a master as well. He incarnated on Earth to free the Israelites from slavery and to start a new religion. And so that was his mission, which he did. He basically said that the miracles that were ascribed to God in the Bible, by inflicting plagues on the Egyptians so that they would release the the Israelites from slavery, he said he caused those through his through the power of focused thoughts. And that he said the Ten Commandments didn't come from God, because he confirmed what Albert had told me. He said that God or the source doesn't make rules for us to follow. So those Ten Commandments didn't come from the source. They came from Moses after a period of very deep meditation. And so that was his role. He fulfilled it very well. He's back in the spirit side, of course, a very wise and compassionate soul. You know, and at one point I asked both of them, I said, you know, we need a lot of help down here on earth. Would you guys be willing to come back and try again and try to help us over the hump? And they both said, yeah, they would, but it was up to the Council of Wise Ones in terms of if they asked them to do so, they would, and they were just waiting for instructions. So it would be, I think, quite amazing if either or both of these people came back on earth to, you know, to help us see the light. So those were two of the masters I saw. I also met with one of my guardian angels on the spirit side. And so it was interesting for me, because I'd always wondered if guardian angels were for real or whether they were just a religious myth. Anyway, I did meet with one of my guardian angels. Her name was Anna Peel, a beautiful, strikingly beautiful soul. She didn't have wings sprouting from her shoulders, contrary to some of the depictions in paintings and so on. But she was a very wise and beautiful soul. She said that she has been with me since I was born. She says that everyone has at least one or more guardian angels who are with them right from day one until we die and leave the earth plane. And their job, interestingly enough, is to make sure that we don't suffer an untimely death before our souls are ready to make an exit. And she confirmed what Albert had told me before, that no one on earth dies by accident. We die when our souls decide it's time to leave the incarnation, which will surprise a lot of people, because, you know, when you hear about a plane crashing and killing 300 people on board, you think, oh, what a tragic accident. Albert says, actually, the deaths of those people was not an accident, because the souls of each and every one of those people on board that plane decided that that was the right time and place to leave the incarnation. And so where guardian angels come into play is that because humans are running around with the free will to take actions and make decisions, and we don't remember where we came from or what we put in our pre-birth planning, so this clash of free wills could often result in something happening which could result in our physical deaths before our souls are ready to exit. That's where the guardian angels come in, because they will actually step in to intervene to make sure that we don't physically die before our souls are ready to go. And they can do this in a number of ways. They can send strong intuitive messages to us to change our plans, or they can physically intervene if necessary. So she gave an example. She said, supposing you're planning to board a plane, they foresee that that plane is going to crash. So the first thing they'll do is send you a strong message to make you think that you should change your plans, and they hope that you'll just change your plans and not board the plane. And if that doesn't work, they may make your tire go flat on the way to the airport so that you miss your plane. And so there's a number of ways they can intervene. For example, if they think you're going to end up in a car crash at an intersection, they will actually change the timing of the traffic lights to make sure you're not in that intersection when another car is running the red light, and thereby avoiding a collision. So, and most of the time, she says, we're not aware of the intervention, but happens all the time. When I said to her, well, you mustn't have been very busy with me because I don't recall any near misses, she says, oh, you know, you have a selective memory. And then she recited a few cases where I had escaped death or injury, which at the time I thought was just luck. And she says, no. Luck doesn't play a part of it. That was me helping you out. And so it was very comforting to know that this beautiful soul was watching over me, you know, 24/7 since the day I was born, and would continue to do so until it was my time to exit. So, and it's also nice to know every one of us has one or more guardian angels. So, yes, angels are real.
Is it true what they say, that the best way to honor the angels is just to say thank you?
Yeah, I think that's a good start. I mean, they do their job. They don't regard it as a job. It's just it's a pleasure. It's a joy for them to do this for us. So it's not like any big burden, and they're really quite happy to do it. and they take it's the love of their life to help out humans, you know, in this way. And so they don't really need any gratitude, but for sure, if you wanted to express your gratitude, they would certainly appreciate it, and it would just make them feel more fulfilled and more appreciated in terms of what they're doing for us.
Garnet, that is so amazing just to have that perspective of the guardian angels. I think that's the very first time I've heard it in that way. And getting this message out there to people, to these different perspectives, and in this way that's coming through Albert is so enlightening. Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure. That's my mission in life right now, Christy, and I'm happy to do it.
I just feel such joy and just big, huge, open heart energy that's just it's coming from you. And I don't know how to explain it, but are you able to feel different subtleties and emotions in your day-to-day life that maybe have opened up to you since you've begun this journey and started opening yourself up to being the person to write down these amazing experiences?
Yeah, I do detect that I'm becoming better and better at being an empath, and I do notice sometimes that I can, you know, I can just sense what other people are feeling, and that hasn't happened. It didn't happen before I met Albert, and just because I was sort of, my skeptical lawyer brain didn't sort of allow me to let any of those thoughts or feelings come into me. Now they do, and I can certainly sense in a much better way what other people are feeling. I'm not as accomplished as a lot of empaths out there, but I'm getting better at it, and I'm sort of understanding more where people are coming from and more about their feelings and what they're thinking. And I certainly also have a better connection to my little dog Abby than I did before, and I can sort of sense, you know, what she wants before she even has to, you know, bark or make any sort of outward expression of what she wants. And so I am getting better at that, Krista, yes. Still have a long ways to go.
Part of the journey, right?
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah.
So your wife, Kathy, has been with you on this journey. What is her experience of all this?
Well, she's been very supportive, and she's actually a very spiritual person herself. And she's had, before I met Albert, she had a couple of spiritual encounters herself. One was with her mother just not long after her mother passed away, and she had a very direct connection with her mother. And then another time, just after her father passed away, she actually had a very direct experience where her father appeared to her in a physical form, not the way he looked, when he was still living, but in a different form, just sort of came out of the blue and started talking to her in a parking lot, and she just sensed that that was her father. And so she's very susceptible to the ideas that Albert has been giving me. She was very supportive of me writing my books. She's very supportive of me, you know, promoting my books and going on radio shows. And so it's been a really nice journey. She's, you know, I hate to think of how it would have been if she hadn't been as susceptible to the ideas that I've been getting from Albert. But she has, and so it's been a very, very pleasant journey.
That's beautiful to have a partner with you that kind of supports you on your journey. I know, from talking to different couples and everything on my journey so far, I know there's all kinds of stories involved. So it's very beautiful when you see that. I know I'm very blessed with having Christy with me and how she's helped me so much as we've kind of walked the journey together.
Yeah, it sure is nice to have support around you among your loved ones. Before I released my first book, I was a bit apprehensive about coming out of the spiritual closet, so to speak, and I was concerned about what my family, what my friends, what my former law partners and clients would think. And so I struggled with it for a while, Mark, and eventually I just decided to heck with it. I was just going to, publish my manuscript and let the chips fall where they may. And if some people thought I was a fool or an idiot or I was losing my mind, so be it. You know, I that was something I shouldn't be worried about. And so I did, and I've lost some people along the way, some people who have not talked to me since I published my book, but I've gained many more new friends. So overall, it's been a very positive experience. and all the members of my family. I have two sons, and their spouses, and they're all very supportive, and so I have no worries there. And so I'm just on a very pleasant journey right now. And if one of the things you learn about, and you've heard this before, is that the older you get, the less concerned you become about what other people think about you. And that's been part of this journey, is that, you know, if people think I'm an idiot, I don't care. They're entitled to their opinion, but there are a lot of people who are very supportive and very glad that I'm, propagating Albert's revelations in my books.
Oh, that's beautiful. Incarnate, I was going to ask you, kind of touching on your third book again, about meeting with Jesus and having those experiences. And specifically, did he mention anything about, you talk about religion and kind of like how a lot of these ideas are kind of counter to what we've been told for, thousands of years. So did Jesus have any kind of comment on that at all?
Yeah, he did. He said basically that his intention was to try to spark a new sense of spirituality, try to get humanity out of the darkness, and that's why he incarnated. He expected that his disciples would create a religion, around his life and death. But he said at the time he didn't know how it would play out. And he hoped that basically they would just take his teachings and propagate it to other people. And he said that he was a bit dismayed that that some of the early leaders of the church, after he died, had basically hijacked the religion, basically, and started crafting it in their own vision, and they were following their own agendas, and their main agenda was to control the masses through guilt and fear. Mm-hmm. And so, unfortunately, mm-hmm. humans being humans, a lot of the humans that followed him, the holy men of the Christian Church, were basically misguided, and they've taken the religion off on a tangent. That's resulted in a bunch of beliefs and rules and dogma that really didn't come from Jesus. They were just developed by the men who followed him. And so he's a little disheartened by it. He recognized that the church has done a lot of good over the years. There's a lot of followers, but he just hoped that it wouldn't have taken all the turns that it has. But he just said, that's human life on earth. You can never tell where it's going, and we just have to live with it.
That's so sweet. He's so good-natured about it then.
Yeah,
well,
he's very pragmatic. He understands how life on earth as a human, how it develops, and that how we all have to battle with negative emotions. And and so the leaders of the church, they were driven by basically by greed, wanting to have power and control over the masses, and so they let that sort of emotion take control of what was going on, and then all of a sudden, in a lot of ways, the teachings of Christ, which are still very valid and still very true, kind of got shunted to the side a bit. And they were layered over with all these other rules and dogma and beliefs that really serve no purpose, didn't come from Christ, but he recognizes that's the way it goes. And, he's happy that his teaching has caused some good in the world, but he wishes that it could have been better. But that he just knows that's a life on earth, and he has to just, go along with it.
Well, and one thing, too, that it kind of comes back is I heard you speaking about, love and compassion, like this this overriding program of just, love and compassion. And if all humans could just kind of just step into that, and then you gave the really beautiful example of yourself, somebody cutting you off, and having these feelings of anger come up, but instead, just allowing yourself to be in love and compassion. And I think for Mark and I, what we've been learning is that, through divine practice is like, it really begins with us. So having love and compassion with ourselves, and then therefore being able to share that love and compassion with others. So you being able to have that that ability to, you really trust yourself and go out on a limb and just go for it. I mean, that's just a living example of that. I mean, it's really amazing the example that you're setting. So I just want to thank you again.
Well, you're quite welcome. And I'm not by any stretch perfect in this regard. I mean, I still have moments of anger and fear and other things. I mean, we all, as humans, we all have these emotions that well up from time to time when you know, in the events in our lives. I really have to make an effort to try to stifle those emotions and just try to, you know, try to embrace love and compassion, and above all, to not judge other people, because that's just not something that we are really capable of judging, because we don't, as I said, we don't know who they are, where they've been, or what their challenges are. But, you know, as the Council Wise One says, it's key for humans to expand their consciousness and raise their vibrations, and the way to do that is to discard negative emotions and embrace love and compassion. And Albert says, if we fully embrace love and compassion, there's no room for negative emotions, and they will melt away like a snowbank in the spring. And that's really the goal that we have to set for ourselves. It's not an easy goal, but it's one that we all need to set, and we all need to encourage everyone around us to do the same. Because it's not just okay for you and I to be good people. We have to try to convince other people to do the same.
Mm-hmm. And does Albert give any instruction on, like, you know, like how to do that, just practically?
Well, not really. I mean, it's just a matter. First of all, we have to be aware of where it is we need to be going, and we have to be aware of the fact that negative emotions are basically bad news for us. They're bad news for us as we interact with other people, and for other people, you know, for humans generally interacting with, you know, the other people in the world, and with the animals that share our planet, and with our planet itself. So the first step is to acknowledge and realize where we should be going, and it's just a matter of trying to practice. And he says we can get help from our guides, who are trying to send us messages all the time to steer us in the right direction and help us on our journey. And the challenge for us is to listen, be able to hear the messages from those guides, because our minds are so full of other thoughts every day. Our minds are just cluttered with thoughts about what happened in the past, what's going to happen in the future, and we don't always hear those messages. And he says one of the ways to be a better listener is through meditation, to sit down quietly, quiet our minds, try to clear the clutter from our minds, and if we can do that with some success, we'll be able to hear more of the messages that come from our guides. And the guides are sending us messages of love and compassion, trying to tell us, you know, what step we should take as we come to a major fork in the road, we'll have a much more happy and fulfilling journey if we can better hear our guides and what they're trying to tell us, because they know what we plan for our lives, and they're trying to steer us in the right direction. So basically, and meditation helps get rid of stress in our lives, and it will help us embrace love and compassion and get rid of our negative emotions. So that's sort of the one practical thing he said to me. It's not an easy thing to do. I try to meditate, you know, every day. I'm not particularly good at it, but, and some people are very good at it, and there's been, you know, hundreds of books written about how to meditate. He says, you know, pick one technique that seems to work for you, and then just practice, and over time you'll become better, and you'll be able to hear more of your messages from your guides.
Thank you.
Garnet, we don't usually do this on our show, but we do have a caller. Would you like to take a question?
Sure.
All right. I apologize for not screening your name ahead of time. We don't have the ability to do that on this show, but I have caller 4053. If you could tell us your name and let us know a question you have for Garnet. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Garnet. My name is Kathleen, and I have an autographed copy of your book, Dancing on a Stamp. And I won it on Michael Long's radio show, Journey into the Light.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and that was way over a year ago. And I enjoyed the book immensely. I have it in my hands right now. But I have a question. I don't know if this is something that can be answered. I constantly worry about my health. And, like, I'm on 8 blood pressure pills a day, which is absurd. And it's still not under control. Why, and I don't mean to blame it on God, but why doesn't he release me of this fear, this constant fear I have of dying? Why should he make me fear it so much that it interferes with my life?
Well, first of all, Kathleen, as Albert has told me many times, he says that God, or the Source, does not interfere with our lives on earth. God doesn't cause things to happen or withhold good things from us. You know, God doesn't get involved in sort of what's going on. And so God's not, it's not his position to relieve you of your stress and your worry about death. So that's something that you have to do yourself. And you can do that by, you know, by, for example, reading books and finding out for yourself that there's no reason to fear death at all, that death is not an end to anything. It's just a doorway where you pass from this physical plane back over to the spirit side. And I can assure you that that happens for everyone without a question, because I had actually had a few visits to the spirit side on some of my trips with Albert. And I actually saw some of my deceased relatives there. They're alive and well and doing just fabulously. And they're over there, and I'm sure you have deceased relatives who are watching over you, watching what's going on, and they're cheering you on and trying to help you have a better and easier journey. You should never worry about dying. And the fact that you have health problems, that could be two causes. One of them, which could be that you planned to have these problems before you were born, because there was a lesson or a challenge there for you that you wanted to experience as a soul. Yeah, and the other reason is that maybe it's because of your free will actions. Maybe you didn't plan it, but because of how you live your life on earth and how you let perhaps your emotions, like for example fear, rule too much of your life, that may be the cause for your high blood pressure. And so what you really have to do is say, I need to get rid of my negative emotions. Fear is a very damaging emotion. So you have to do your best to try to stifle your fear and just embrace love and say, okay, no matter what happens to me on earth, I can't go wrong or become lost. I'm always going to end up back where I came from, back in heaven, back in the spirit side.
You know, it's the fear of the unknown, what's over there. I mean, I have to know what's going to happen every day. And it's like everyone says, yeah, you shouldn't be afraid of death and this and that. But it's fear of the unknown. To me, I'd like to think it's a big reunion. I'm going to see mom and dad and my brothers and this and that. And I think in your book you said there are, like, libraries in heaven too, and am I correct with that?
Yes, there are.
Yeah. And what's the purpose of libraries in heaven?
Well, it's because as souls we want to expand our knowledge, increase our wisdom, which is part of our growth and evolution. And so we can increase our wisdom by incarnating, as a human on Earth or on other planets, and those experiences and meeting those challenges and taking those tests help us with our evolution. And so as a soul, as a spirit side, we don't basically know everything about everything. We know a lot more than we know as a human on Earth, but we can expand our knowledge by traveling in spirit form to other planets in the universe, to attend lectures from famous people that used to live on Earth, go to the libraries where we can study other planets and decide where we want to incarnate next. So it's a matter of, life on the spirit side is a constant learning process. And there's never an end to the learning, because there's never an end to the universe, and there's always so many new things that are developing in the universe. So it's a very challenging, sort of fulfilling journey that we have, a journey that has no timetable or no finish line.
And so there's no pain over there, whatever you pass of, whether it be cancer, what have you, there is absolutely no pain. So do you just, like, float around all day?
well, as Albert explained to me, he said there is pain in life, but he says that once your soul has decided to exit its incarnation, then from that point there will be no pain. So he gave me the example. He said, if I were to die in a car accident, he says,
That's my favorite part of your book.
He said my soul would leave my body just before the impact, and I wouldn't
feel any pain
or anything.
You'd see it afterwards.
Well, you'd be sort of floating there, and you'd be like you're watching a movie. Yes, you'd be like you're watching a movie. And so he said,
I have it right in front of me.
It says,
what if I die from injuries I receive in a car accident? Would I not suffer a lot of pain before I actually died? And it states here, In this situation, your soul would know your physical death was about to happen, and you would leave your body just prior the crash without feeling the impact or any pain from your injuries. You would watch the final moments of your life from outside of your body without feeling any distress or anxiety, as if you were watching a movie. And that's the favorite. I have that page folded over because I have a fear when I'm in cars, too, the way people drive. But
well,
I love
that
part.
Yeah, and I love that part, too, because I always had some, I too had apprehension about the dying process. Like, would it be painful? Would I be anxious and so on? And so he allayed all of my fears by telling me that, and I firmly believe that. And so I'm just, you know, ready to face my physical death whenever it happens.
But you know what? I have one more question. I'll let you go. But why does God put us through the pain of cancer? I know you say, and I've heard it before, that you know, we choose our life before we come to the earth plane, and you know what can happen to us. But why do we have to suffer? And I was watching The Passion of the Christ the other night for Easter, and I'm thinking, why does God make us suffer before we die? Some people suffer for years. And then I thought, is it because he had to suffer before he rose from the dead, before his resurrection?
Actually, no, Kathleen. As I said before, God doesn't make us do anything. He doesn't visit pain or disease or anything else on us. And so if people are suffering from cancer, it's because they chose their life beforehand. And you might say, well, why would anyone choose to suffer from cancer? Well, it's not clear to us, but when the soul of that person was on the spirit side before they were born, they had good reasons to choose their lives. And it was very, very apparent to them then. Once we're born, of course, we forget about our life planning and who we are. And so we wonder, you know, why am I suffering from cancer? Well, it's because your soul chose your life. And there was a very good reason for that. It was a lesson that your soul needed to face and pass as part of their evolution. So it's all great mystery to us humans, and we're not intended to understand every intimate aspect of it. But Albert says that's how it works. And when the soul of the person who has cancer dies, gets back to the spirit side, they will then realize why they suffered through the cancer pain.
Well, you know, I really believe I picked my two sons, and they picked me. Because I have a son that was born with autism. Today, he's in his second year of pharmacy school and on the dean's list.
Wow.
And
that's great.
Really bright. And I was fortunate. My husband was an engineer, and he made good money, and I could stay home with him. I got him involved in early intervention. I had someone come in the house and show me different techniques. He couldn't speak. He used to bang his head. He sounds like a walking encyclopedia today. My other son, the day after had him, was rushed into Boston, had three operations on his colon, a colostomy bag, wasn't toilet trained till he was a teenager. But he lives in the Netherlands, married. He has a son. He's a professional jazz pianist. If you look him up on the internet, he's there. And he does gigs now and then with Branford Marsalis, who used to play on the Jay Leno show. And it's like I devoted my life to them, but I think I picked them because I'm nurturing. And I believe they picked me. The only downfall I look at is because I didn't work for over 15 years and I stayed home with them. Now I'm on SSI, disability, and I make $800 a month. I don't live the charmed life I used to when I was married to their dad and they had their medical problems. Now I'm alone, living in housing off of $800 a month, but they're doing fantastic.
Well, Kathleen, you should be proud of your record as a mother, and you should be proud of your sons. And
you
are correct. You chose them, and they chose you, and this was all done before you were born. Because when you're doing your life planning, you have to you pick the souls that are going to play an important part of your life, so your spouses and your children and your parents and so on. So there's no doubt you picked them, and obviously you've done a great job, and you should be very proud of that.
I am.
Well, thank you for calling into
thank
the show and
you.
Sharing
and
your
thank
life story
you for
with
all the
us.
Time you gave me with, you know, being on the program and asking Garnett questions. I appreciate it. Could you also keep me on so I continue listening?
Sure, we'll put you over there so you can hear. Such a beautiful story for her to share, and so much like some of the others. And I think, Garnett, you know, what you said about her being able to read some books and everything like that, not only your books, but books from some of the mediums that are out there, like John Holland and some of the others that are real famous out in the industry, have so many stories of afterlife experiences and everything. And I know my father, who kind of runs the cusp of, you know, wanting to know about spirituality and stuff like that, you know, he wanted to know more about what happens after you die. And, you know, by him reading some books and everything that were out there, he was able to, I guess, you know, kind of help him lift a lot of those fears he had about what happens after you die. And it's just amazing, like you said, everything, you know, it validates everything that you said about how there's no judgment, that there's no pain, that, you know, all that stuff is lifted once you pass over. And, you know, just being able to go back to the other side. I think one of the things that was coming to mind when I was listening to the interview was that, you know, she was saying, I just don't understand why I took this on. And it kind of reminds me of an individual who might be someone who has a regular routine in life and then decides they want to go some exotic place and jump off a bridge and do some bungee jumping or something like that. I think it's almost like the same mindset as being on the other side. And that is, you know, when we're on the other side, we're in a place of health, of immediate creation. Anything we think happens, and we have all these beautiful things around us, and we're never sick. And then, you know, through that process, we decide, okay, let's come down here and try out something like, oh, I've never been sick since I've been on the spirit side. Maybe I would like to see what it would be like to have some type of challenging health issue, that I would learn to, you know, find grace in the situation and stuff like that, and realize that it's not something that God's doing against me because I think I'm bad.
Yeah, you summed it up very nicely, Mark. That's exactly how souls on the spirit side regard a life on earth. They regard it as a brief adventure. It's just like you said, somebody living an ordinary life who decides to go somewhere and jump off a bridge and bungee jump. And you wonder, you know, why would you do that? Is it because it's something different? They want to learn something. They want to challenge themselves to a new experience. That's what souls think on the spirit side. It's like, okay, it's a challenge on earth. It can be very unpleasant at times, but I want to see if I have the mettle to deal with those challenges and come out of it with grace. And so that's why a lot of souls, well, that's why basically they all come here. It's a brief adventure. And because there's no linear time on the spirit side, you know, a lifetime of 80 years on earth is just like a blink of an eye over there. So it's like a very short little jaunt out of paradise into this often called hellhole called earth, you know, for to test their mettle, you know. And so to them, it's not a big deal. It's like, yeah, let me try a life where I have to suffer through cancer and see how I do, see how I come out of it.
It reminds me of, there's a spiritual teacher that said that, you know, like when aliens come to the planet Earth, you know, maybe they're aliens to us, but one of the reasons that they go deep underground or they stay undercover is because they're not crazy enough to make themselves known. And he was talking about all the souls that do incarnate on Earth being like the spiritual badass of the universe, you know, because we come down here to really test ourselves.
Well, we do. And Albert says Earth is one of the most difficult schools around. And so he said to me many times, every one of us who are living on Earth right now, we should pat ourselves in the back for being so courageous, or maybe so crazy, as to come and incarnate as a human.
Yeah, it is a beautiful journey. It's funny because, you know, as Christy was mentioning that, I was thinking of some other jokes that were along that mindset, where they said, you know, bunch of aliens that are talking about coming down to visit Earth, and they said, I'm not going down there. They have shows where they compete against each other, do all kinds of crazy stuff. Look what they do for fun.
Yeah, they laugh at people who trip and hurt themselves, you know.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited that you were able to come on the show this evening. I always get to say the sentence of, oh, my goodness, how quickly an hour goes. We've had so much fun interviewing you on the show. And why don't you go ahead and tell people about the book that's out now that just came out and your website?
Yeah, my third book has just been released. It's called Dance of Heavenly Bliss. And you can find information about it and my first two books on my website. It's garnetschulhauser.com, which is difficult to remember, but if you Google dancing on a stamp, you can get to my website, and there you can download an excerpt from all my books. You can watch a book video. You can listen to all the videos, all the recordings of my radio shows that I've done since June of 2013. You can dial into my social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and LinkedIn. And there's buy links on my website where you can click on it into all the popular sites like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and you can get right to the place where you can buy my books. And my email address is on my website, and I would love to hear comments or questions from anyone out there listening.
That's beautiful that you put yourself out there, not only with the gift of writing the books and sharing all these experiences that you've been having with Albert, but also the heart, the open heart, and the beautifulness that you bring to the show and the interview. And as always, I appreciate having you on. I remember interviewing you on your first book, and I'm happy that you always come back to Divine Practice and, of course, Spiritual Connections Radio to share your journey with us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me back again. I always enjoyed being on your show. Mark, this is the first time with you, Christy, but it's been delightful,
yeah.
And I would certainly look forward to coming back again.
And I was going to ask, Mark, do we have time for one more question? I've got one question in my head.
Sure, yeah.
Garnet, I was sitting here thinking about you were discussing traveling to, like, other planets and interacting in different realms and that nature. I was just going to ask, what was your most favorite trip, I guess, to places beyond the beyond, if you want to call it that?
Well, the most pleasurable trip was when I, and this was a detail in my second book, was when I actually got to go to a focal point of the source. And Albert says the source is sort of everywhere. It's not just in one location. But this was the focal point. It was sort of like a central sun near the center of the galaxy. And as we submerged down into this, it looked like our sun. We submerged down. I didn't feel any heat or anything, but I felt like I was immersed in this immense pool of pure, unfettered love. It was like an emotional high like I'd never experienced before. The only comparison I can give you, Christy, would be to imagine your most intense emotional high in your life so far, like the day you got married or the birth of a child, and then multiply it by a few thousand times. And that's sort of how I felt, immersed in this just pool of pure love. It's hard to describe. Anyway, that was the most exhilarating experience I had. I had many more other interesting ones, but that was sort of basically the highlight so far.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're quite welcome.
All right, and with that, and to answer your question, yes, we always want to interview you and talk to you anytime, but also during these great peaks when you have a new book to share with us. So we will be looking forward to hearing from you. I know you said in the beginning of the show that your next book is almost finished, which is amazing because I know you just released your last one. So Albert's definitely got you on the treadmill.
He sure does, you know, but it's a pleasurable treadmill. I don't mind doing it, and I'm really I really enjoy all my trips and all my encounters with Albert, and so I'm happy to do it. So I will keep doing it as long as he sends me marching orders.
Sounds good. Thank you for being on the show this evening. Everybody who's been listening to our guest, Garnet Schulhauser, you can find information about his website and everything on our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. You've been listening to Divine Practice, and we'll be coming up with another show next month. We generally try to run our shows for this particular format about the third Thursday of every month, unless me and Christy are traveling somewhere, which happens quite a bit. And with that, I want to say goodnight to everybody. And Garnet, thanks a lot, and take care.
Thank you.
Good night.
Night.